Have you guys ever tried explaining football to a little kid? It's almost impossible to make it make sense. I've got two kids myself, and they're always like, Dad, what's this thing on TV for your work? When can we watch some Paw Patrol? Well, meet Future Fans, an innovative brand that helps little kids become big fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. The way they teach is super unique and effective. As an example, they have this beanbag toss game with four tries to teach downs in football. I tried it with my kids. They love it. And later they connect those games back to the sport itself through a storybook. Seriously, check out the reviews on this thing. They have 4.9 stars on Amazon. Imagine your kid asking to watch on Sundays with you or being right there alongside you for all the ups and downs with your favorite team. That's what dreams are made of right there. And Future Fans exists to make that a reality. If you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. And it's only $49.99 right now. Use the code MMQB at futurefans.com to get 10% off and unlock a lifetime of memories starting now. That's $49.99. Use the code MMQB at futurefans.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast. It is Thursday, March 7th. We are 4 days away from the legal tampering period, which both serves as an exciting time and the most hilarious name in sports. And then 6 days away, March 13th, when the new league year hits and everybody's got to be cap compliant, pencils down, all that good stuff. And of course, at that juncture, you can sign anybody from anywhere. And it goes from being agreed in principle to agreed in terms. So, with that being said, thank you so much for everybody being patient with us. I know the last couple weeks we haven't been around. We were at the Combine. We're covering the Super Bowl. A couple of vacations sprinkled in. So it's been a little bit of a rocky time in terms of the pod. But we are back and back in force. I am Matt Verderam, as always, joined by the great Gilberto Manzano. And, Gil, there's a lot to talk about. This week, a lot of releases. A lot of speculation. We were both in Indianapolis. I'd say, look, let's lead off with this. So we were going to record yesterday, ended up moving it to today, and it kind of worked out because the Buffalo Bills yesterday decided to cut a host of players who are longtime starters, named players, had a couple of restructures in there as well. For those of you who might have missed it, they released Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, longtime center there, also gone. Nyheim Hines and Cyron Neal, gone. Not that those are big names or big surprises, but they're out the door. Deonte Hardy, one of the better return men in the league, he also out the door. Von Miller gets a restructure. They move some money around with Rasul Douglas. Just a host, a flurry of moves. Were you surprised by what the Bills did? Obviously, they got to get under the cap, but were you surprised at some of those guys being moved out the door?
You know, not too surprised. Because, like you mentioned, they were over the salary cap, and they're at the bottom, or I guess way over the red line when it came to the salary cap. But, you know, I think a lot of teams probably saw what the Rams did a year ago and just said, you know what, it's time to pay the tab. It's easier to pay the tab in the debt when you win the Super Bowl. The Bills have not had that luxury, but you got to ask yourself, do you want to be kind of keep doing the same thing, moving money down the road, and be like the New Orleans Saints, where you haven't made the playoffs since 2020? You keep thinking you have Drew Brees and Sean Payton, and you keep going with a veteran for a roster. So for the Bills' sake, I think they had to do it, you know, for sure. But the way they did it, like in one day, which is cool for maybe for reporters, for the big reporters to cover the Bills, kind of like, all right, just get over it in one day. You don't want to have it spread out over the weekend. It is a lot of work for a day, but that's fine. But I was surprised about, Tre'Davious White a little bit. I know he's had injury history, but he's a good cornerback when he's available. But guys like, like Poyer, he's older. I could see that. And obviously you got a good kick returner, punt returner. Those guys, usually – they're making a little too much money, they get cut too. So in terms of that, I was surprised a little bit about White, but they did a good job with the trade with Rasul Douglas, gave him a little more flexibility there. And then they haven't done well with drafting cornerbacks, but you could always do the draft route. So, it had to be done. And I do like this approach from the Bills because, as you know, Matt, very well, whatever I know they have a window for a long time with Josh Allen, but this core group with Diggs and an older defense, it just hasn't been working. And sometimes when you keep trying to knock at the door, nobody's answering, you got to try something different, right?
Yeah, no question. And good by you to bring up Tre'Davious White, who's going to be a post-June 1 cut. So they're going to get that cap relief come June 1st. They'll split that money over a couple of years. It doesn't have to be even necessarily that split. It has to be within a 60-40 range, one way or the other. But yeah, he's gone. Look, I think a lot of that is, you know, I was talking to some people in Indianapolis, and there's a thought that, like, is he even going to play this year? You know, he's coming off of the last 2 years, the ACL and the Achilles now, and it's just been brutal luck, unfortunately, for one of the better corners in the league for a while. The one that surprised me was Mitch Morse. I know he's older. He's in his 30s. He had 1 year left on his deal. He's been the only center that the Bills have ever had snapping the ball to Josh Allen. And, you know, look, we all understand at this point Allen's enough of a veteran to make the protection calls or anything else, but, like, Morse is a stalwart in there. For him to leave, I was surprised a little by that. The Poyer one you knew was coming. You know, some of those other moves that, you know, we've talked about here, not surprised. I think in the end, though, it does kind of signal a little bit of a sea change here for Buffalo and a necessary one. But, what you know, that defense, look, Daquan Jones is a free agent. And Leonard Floyd's a free agent. Micah Hyde is a free agent. AJ Epenesa, a free agent. Like, that's a lot of guys. That defense is going to look radically different. Obviously, Matt Milano should be back and healthy next year, and that's great news for them. And they've got a young linebacker in Terrell Bernard who can really play. But, like, they got other guys who got to factor in here. Look, the Bills are one of the oldest teams in the league. And the reality is here, they're paying Von Miller a fortune. I get they restructured everything else. They're still paying him a lot of money to be basically at this point be a hood ornament because he could not move last year. We'll see if he bounces back. But last year he was awful. They're also in a position right now where Teron Johnson turns 28 this summer, all pro corner, slot corner. Do you extend him? Do you extend him into his 30s? Because if you do, it's going to be a big extension and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be multiple years, obviously, for a player of his caliber. Milano turns 30 going into this season. On the offensive side, Deion Dawkins, he's about to be 30, and he is a guy with 1 year left on his deal, although still a great left tackle. The Diggs situation, Diggs 31 this season. Diggs turns 31 in November. You've got him on a four-year deal going forward here, and that has been a soap opera for years on end now. Like, what's going to happen? The Bills have got to use this offseason to kind of figure some things out here. And that, you know, I think started on Wednesday, but I don't think it stopped. Like, they're going to have to really, I think, reshape it here a little bit. Not rebuild, but they've got to retool this thing around Allen because, it obviously, to your point, look, 3 years in a row, you've been knocked out in the divisional round in two of those games to Kansas City. So, you know, something's got to change here if you're going to get over the hump.
Yeah, I think it is a good sign that they're finally trying to try something new. And I get it. Every team has their core group, and they feel like they could get it done with that core group. And it's tough to let go of some veterans that have been reliable and, you know, put in the work for the city and the franchise. But, you know, look at the team that they keep losing to, the Kansas City Chiefs, and you know this very well, Matt. Like, they've made tough decisions before you actually have to make them, right? They, letting go of Tyreek Hill was like, you know what, maybe you could get a trade for him because you can't pay everybody. They already knew this, and I get when you have the luxury of winning a Super Bowl, it's less pressure, and they won that one with Tyreek Hill, but they had to do something about it. He said, all right, let's get a first-round pick. Tyreek's gone. And look at right now with L'Jarius Sneed. Like, don't let him go for nothing, but we'll listen to offers because you can't pay everybody. And it helps me have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes too as well, so every situation is very different. But sometimes just get ahead of it. Like, you know these windows don't last forever in the NFL. The luxury about the Bills, they have Josh Allen. These windows can become different windows. It's just – get ahead of it. Become early. You don't want to be this team that gets stuck. And obviously the Bills know about the early 90s when you got stuck and you couldn't go back again. Just jump ahead of it. And the Chiefs, I think, are a perfect example. So a lot of guys there, but always lean on the draft. Like, drafts, you know, get younger, you know, you get younger, you get talent. You never know. Trust your scouting department. And then obviously the salary cap will take care of itself. But there's been four or five teams that have done it differently, and they usually get good results. But the ones that keep doing the same thing over and over again, they don't get the results that they always want.
There's no question. There's no question. And I think that's where, if you look at this thing realistically for the Bills, the reason they were in this position in the first place with a bunch of aging players who were making a lot more money maybe than they were willing to carry on the cap, they haven't drafted well. Then that's the problem. When you look at their draft picks of the last four classes, prior to this past one, prior to the Kincaid year, their best picks been Gabe Davis and Dawson Knox. And, like, listen, they're fine. But like Knox got a second contract that if they could get out of tonight, they would. And Davis isn't going to get a second contract in Buffalo. Like, it's just a lot of guys. Now, look, the 2022 draft, Alicia Walkway, hey, okay, James Cook, good player, second-round pick. Terrell Bernard, you draft Benford, you draft Shakir. Like, it's not a draft maybe that's going to produce, you know, an all-pro, but it's a good draft. So between that draft and then Kincaid and Torrance in 2023, you go, okay, at least they've got some young pieces coming in. Kincaid might be that kind of an all-pro level player. We'll see how it develops. But for years, like, they haven't drafted those guys. You just go, that guy is somebody you're going to build that room around, you know, and that's the problem. And to your point with Kansas City, that's why they were able to move on from some of these other guys, because they drafted guys you're building a room around. You draft Trent McDuffie. You draft a Creed Humphrey. You draft a Nick Bolton. You draft your Rashee Rice, who, by the way, other than McDuffie, none of those guys are first-round picks. You know, you draft Lejarius Sneed in the fourth round. You get Karlaftis in the first round with the pick you traded Hill for. I mean, they turned Hill into Karlaftis and Brian Cook and a whole bunch. You draft Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round. You know, and Jalen Watson in the seventh round. Like, that's how you're able to move off Tyrann Mathieu and Charvarius Ward. And you stay nimble financially. You know, and now it gives them the opportunity here to probably turn Sneed into another high pick if they trade him off the tag. And then, of course, they're sitting here with the Chris Jones thing, which I guess is a good segue for this. So Chris Jones right now, this is the drama that's been playing out since last offseason. He is slated for free agency on Wednesday. Obviously, we can start talking to our teams on Monday, although you and I both know we can start talking to our teams probably at the Combine in Indianapolis. Like, my opinion on this is for the Chiefs to retain him. They're going to have to just pay him what he wants. They're going to have to pay the number. They're going to have to just accept it, because if they don't, he's going to market. And if he gets to the market, that number is only going to climb. My expectation is this is going to be very, very close, if not too flat out, $30 million a year. And I would think the guarantees are probably somewhere around $75 to $80 million. If you're the Chiefs, would you pay him $3 and $90 and guarantee $75? Would you pay him $4 and $115 and guarantee him $80? Or would you say, you know what, we're gonna let you walk and we're going to try to replace you with the Christian Wilkins. We're going to try to, you know, upgrade elsewhere. How would you approach it if you're Brett Veach?
Yeah, you know, I like, you know, the 3-year kind of, you know, format. Get a bunch of money early on. He's an older player, and keep this core group together for a little longer. And you know, I know there was, you know, rumors about Travis Kelce possibly retiring. That didn't occur, obviously, but
right.
There's probably something there about, like, you know, the wanting to be the first NFL team to go for a three-peat. Like, that's pretty cool. So, you know what, get like short term, you know, contract, give him a bunch of money up front. You know, for a while, I kept saying, no one's going to top Aaron Donald money. Aaron Donald's on a different level. And then Chris Jones has done it the last 2 years. In the postseason, he's been a monster. He's been a big piece for the Super Bowls back-to-back. So, obviously, the tricky part is, like, okay, you're going to pay an older player for what he did in the past. That's always kind of a recipe for disaster. But he's still playing well. You know, two back-to-back Super Bowls. So, there's part of it, like, okay, you did what you needed to do. We got to reward you for that. But also, he still plays at a high level. So something about 3 to 4 years. Obviously, the salary cap is always going to be an issue there. But like you mentioned, the Chiefs know how to draft players. They know how to, you know, just kind of prepare for these scenarios. But putting Lejarius Sneed on the block, I know that's going to hurt. But when you have such a good defense and you got Trent McDuffie already, it gives you the luxury to get another, maybe a second-round pick or a first-round pick, whatever it is. I think you definitely got to pay Chris Jones. And Matt, you know, the funny part, I was asked to do a story for SI. Pick one top free agent that each team, you know, will sign, you know, for prediction, my best guess. And I didn't have Chris Jones in the story because I keep thinking they're going to get this deal done over the weekend. He won't even get to the open market. But, you know, you probably know better than I do, so I want to hear your thoughts real quick about it. But you let Chris Jones in the open market, like, you're playing with fire. And someone's going to throw that money at him because he is the best at his position. Maybe the best defensive player in the world right now. He's just playing lights out. So I keep thinking it's going to get done over the weekend or whatever. Maybe right now. Who knows? But then again, you never know with the scenario that's kind of been dragging out for a year.
I think it is a failure by Clark Hunt, by Brett Veach, and by the Chiefs if they don't get this guy signed. And I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear, you know, if he leaves and goes to the Raiders or the Texans or somebody like that, I don't want to hear the Chiefs 3 or 4 days later kind of leaking it out. They're like, well, you know, we were willing to go to 28 and he wanted 30. Hey, bro, go to 30. Like, you just drafted, as you and I have laid out, you've drafted really well. And you know what? That provides you flexibility in the cap. That provides you the ability to say, hey, you know what? We're going to pay this guy. And I understand they're not paying Legarius Sneed. As great as Legarius Sneed has been, I understand they have a really deep group of corners. They have an all-pro in McDuffie in his second year. Like, I understand them saying, we love Legarius Sneed, but, like, we can probably make do. We can figure it out. They've done nothing but draft and develop corners for years on end. They've got this kid, Shamari Connor, coming up, who played really well at the end of his rookie year, who's a safety and can play in the slot. So, like, I get it. I get where they're coming from in that one. The Jones thing, if he leaves, they got you and me playing D-tackle in Kansas City. Like, it's not tenable. That whole thing is built around Chris Jones. And Chris Jones has been adamant about, I want to be in Kansas City. He flat out said during the playoffs, I don't want to ever play for any other coordinator other than Steve Spagnuolo. He loves his coach in Cullen, Joe Cullen, the defensive line coach. So if I'm the Chiefs and you're sitting there, and look, I'm not reporting this, I'm just saying, like, if you're sitting there at $28 million a year and he wants 30, what are you doing? Now, I did report throughout the summer along with other people like Nate Taylor of The Athletic, who does great work. Remember, we were all reporting at the time in August or so, hey, the Chiefs were essentially giving him a two-year extension for $27.25 million per year, fully guaranteed. So it was going to be 2 years, $54.5 million, fully guaranteed on top of the year he had left, which would have made it about $3.75.5 million. And the agents that represent him, the Katz brothers, essentially were like, no, we want it closer to 30. My understanding was like 3.84 was kind of the sweet spot, and the Chiefs wouldn't go there. And so then they held out for a game, and now we all know what happened. He had 10 sacks, won Super Bowl. He's about to turn 30 in July. If you give him a three-year deal, even if you give him a four-year deal, we both know that fourth year is never happening. So it's really a three-year deal. So what? The last year he plays is age 32. So if he's 75% of the guy he is now, he's still an all-pro. So if I'm the Chiefs, I'm going for the three-peat, man. Like, to me, you owe it to the players on that team to go for it. And the other part of this is, too, and I think it matters. You've been in locker rooms. I've been in locker rooms. Travis Kelce has taken less his entire career, way less, so that team could be a great team around him. Patrick Mahomes, I won't say he took less because he got a fortune. He took a ridiculously long term so that they could spread that money out. They had a ton of flexibility in his contract. He did that so they could keep people like Chris Jones. And those two guys lived with it when they traded Tyreek Hill because they understood they had to rebuild this defense. If you now trade Legarius Sneed and let Chris Jones walk out the door, what are you going to do to say Travis Kelce? Hey, guys, listen, we know you took less your entire career. And Patrick, look, we know that you've taken a ton of flexibility out of your own life because let's be real, he could have taken a bunch of four-year contracts and he'd probably be making $80 million a year on the next one. He didn't do that. He took a 12-year deal, 10-year extension. You have to pay guys like this if you're Kansas City. With the flexibility your star players are giving you, with the flexibility you've given yourself by drafting well, if they don't sign that guy and he leaves, that is an organizational failure based on where they are financially and what they're trying to achieve in 2024.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And players are well aware of who are the dominant players, who are the leaders. If that yep. guy's not getting paid, what makes you think I'm going to get paid? So it does send a strong message across the locker room. So get it done. I don't know why it's being dragged out. I get the age is always an issue, but three Super Bowls, you know, all pro level the last couple of years, better than Aaron Donald. I know Aaron Donald's been dealing with injuries, but like that says a whole lot. And you can't get paid, make it happen.
I just think in the end, to your point there, you're right. Like, guys know the business around them that's going on. Like, they get it. And if you let Chris Jones walk and then you sign like Christian Wilkins, and Christian Wilkins is a damn good football player. Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't sign him. He's a very good football player. But if you're in that locker room, they sign him for $4 and $100. You're gonna be sitting there going, wait a minute. We signed the guy who's never played it down here to $4 and $100. We years ago, for the few players that are still around, traded for Frank Clark and gave him 5 and 105. Okay, and never played it down in Kansas City. And Frank Clark ended up winning a couple Super Bowls with them. And look, it worked out, although you could argue whether it's worth that money, but it worked out. They paid Juwan Taylor $4 and $80. Okay. Now, listen, not saying that you're not going to bring in the occasional outside free agent, and they didn't sign Juwan Taylor at the expense of a guy they should have kept, but that's fine. If you go out and you pay a defensive tackle $100 million in Kansas City, and his name is not Chris Jones, you're going to have guys in that locker room looking around going, what the hell? What happened? How did we not pay our guy to bring in another guy who, with due respect to Christian Wilkins, is a very good player? He is not Chris Jones. Like, so it's just a very bizarre situation, if you will. Like, I think guys get it when you move on and you go, hey, you know what? Okay, we're deep in that room, or that guy's just falling off a little bit, or, you know what, maybe that guy's a little disgruntled. None of that's the case with Chris Jones. And so I think if you're the Chiefs, you got to pay him. Another team that's worth talking about right now, staying in the AFC West here for a minute, Denver. So Denver, we got to get to this. So Russell Wilson is going to be a post-June 1 cap. They're going to split $85 million in dead cap, which is just staggering. It's far more than any other dead cap hit in the history of the NFL. They also released Justin Simmons this morning, former All-Pro safety, who's in his 30s but still a very good player. What do you make of the whole situation going on in Denver, and what do you make of Russell Wilson's future?
Yeah, you know, I'll say one thing that really stood out to me that our colleague Albert Breer pointed out, you know, maybe yesterday in a tweet, and he was like, yeah, if the Broncos get a young quarterback and they draft one like a JJ McCarthy, who, like, you know, obviously when you get a rookie quarterback, you got to make sure they have good surroundings. And with all that dead money that the Broncos are eating, it could be a terrible situation for the Broncos if you get a young quarterback. So maybe do something with, like, the Buccaneers, where they have some money still on the books for Tom Brady, and you get Baker Mayfield, experienced quarterback who could deal with some of the noise there, and let's see what happens. So on the Broncos front, you got to be very careful. You're going to bring in a young guy, and you don't have any money to spend for a couple of years. So that was a good point by Albert there. Now, with the Russell Wilson front, it depends. Like, you know, I guess after the last 2 years, I'm sure he's been humbled a little bit, and it's been a crappy situation, but it's also on him too. He didn't play up to the contract. So, you know, do you view yourself as a Super Bowl winning champion that you were with the Seahawks and you're still a top quarterback? You're going to push for a starting job. But, like, look at last year. I'm sure Carson Wentz probably wanted to have a starting job, and it never came. He kept waiting and waiting, and eventually became a backup for the Rams, and that was the best he could do. And so if you're Russell Wilson, I think you should, you know, strike quickly. There's a team that shows interest, and you're not getting a guaranteed of a starting job, just take it. Like, say it's the Raiders, and they're saying, you know what, we're going to wait around for the draft. Maybe a Penix Jr. is there available, or McCarthy, or Bo Nix. But you could compete with the rookie if you want, Russell. Come in now. You're getting paid from the Broncos. You could play with Davante Adams. Maybe Josh Jacobs resigns. There's something cooking here with the Raiders, but we cannot guarantee a starting job. I think that might be the best bet for Russell Wilson to say, I'm here to compete. And I know on this show we like to make fun of the Steelers sometimes, Matt. If you're the Steelers and these reports are true, you don't want to go after a Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins because you want to give Kenny Pickett another shot. Let's hope that's not a real thing, because Kenny Pickett needs to be in the competition. And why not from Russell Wilson? Obviously, got Mason Rudolph too, but that can't be your starting group for 2024. Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. Maybe a Wilson could add a little more intrigue.
Yeah, no, listen, I 100% couldn't agree more, Gilberto. And I think, you know, too, let's be real here. So Wilson is not who he was years ago. We understand that, but he's better than Kenny Pickett. Like, almost everybody's better than Kenny Pickett in the NFL. Has anyone else watched Kenny Pickett? And Mason Rudolph, like, this idea that Mason Rudolph now, like, we got to bring him back because he, I mean, again, I'm sorry. What are we talking about? Are you kidding me? Mason Rudolph is a backup quarterback, and he's fine as a backup quarterback, but he's not more than that. Russell Wilson, unquestionably, is an upgrade there, even though I think he's a, you know, quarterback who probably, if I had to do my quarterback rankings that I did during the year, if I did them right now, he's in the probably the low 20s, you know, 21, 22, somewhere around there, somewhere in that range. I don't care that he threw 26 touchdowns and 8 picks. I watched every snap of Russell Wilson last year. He was not good. I'm not trying to make up some narrative here that he was good. He was not good. That being said, he's going to probably, in all likelihood here, get the vet minimum because Denver's paying the money. They're paying the freight. If I'm Pittsburgh, all day long, you want the vet minimum to come in here and be twice the quarterback Kenny Pickett is? Sounds good, man. Can you throw the ball to Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth and George Pickens? Can you hand off to Najee Harris? Can you not just get us killed in these games? Because if you can do that, I'm all for bringing you in. And to that point, you know, I think Atlanta's another team that makes sense. Like, if they don't get Kirk Cousins, even, you could still draft a J.J. McCarthy at 8, right? You could still do that. There's nothing precluding you from doing that. Bring Russell Wilson and let him be a bridge for a year. At that point, at this juncture of his career, that's what he is. He's a bridge. He's not the future. Nobody's sitting there singing praises that he's going to be there for the next 5 years. I just think if you're a Pittsburgh, if you're in Atlanta, somebody like that, By the way, the other team I think that has to be mentioned in here is the Raiders. He mentioned the Raiders as one of the teams he was willing to go to when he was working his way out of Seattle. Again, if I'm the Raiders, why not? Like for a year, I mean, is he not better than Aiden O'Connell? Of course he's better than Aiden O'Connell. So bring him in for a year, let him play. And then you know what? Look, either, you know, at 13, you could maybe draft a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix Jr., something like that. Or you know what? You pass this year. You punt on this year at the quarterback position in the draft. You wait till next year, although next year's class maybe not that strong. I just think if you're the Raiders or the Falcons or the Steelers, it gives you a cheap option who's better than what you've had, and it gives you flexibility down the road. So I actually think Wilson's going to be somewhat in demand. As far as the Broncos are concerned, yes, Wilson was bad. This is an organizational failure. Not the second time I've used that term on an AFC West team today, so it's been we're really rolling. But this isn't just Russell Wilson. Like, he stunk. He deserved to get cut. That's fine. This is how George Payton is still employed as a GM of that team blows my mind. The man hired Nathaniel Hackett, traded all this for Russell Wilson, which I think the trade is defensible. But then as bad as the trade ended up being, you gave him $245 in a five-year extension. He never played a down on the extension. You also gave $70 million to Randy Gregory, who ended up playing 10 games for you. And yet George Payton's still chilling, getting his checks. Like, I don't know how that's possible. To me, the Broncos, this idea that's going to come out of this, which is like the Broncos now have absolved themselves of this greater issue. No, you haven't. You're still the Broncos until proven otherwise. And now part of absolving yourself of this sin is you got to cut Justin Simmons because you can't afford anything. Jose Joel is a damn good linebacker, is going to walk out the door. You may have to cut Tim Patrick. You may have to cut Jerry Jeudy. You may have to cut Garrett Bowles. And oh, by the way, eat $85 million in a cap hit over the next 2 years. So you're non-competitive the next two seasons. Denver's got a long road back. I actually think the future's a lot brighter for Russell Wilson than it is for Denver.
Yeah, man, that's all well said. It's a mess for the Broncos, and like you mentioned, they released Justin Simmons. He's still playing at a good level, obviously not at the all-pro level, but he's doing well, and so that tells you they're hurting for the salary cap. And yeah, you're right. I saw George Patton talking at the combine. I'm like, how is he still with the Broncos? I thought maybe he'll get a year with Sean Payton, he'll get settled in, and then he'll get fired, but he hasn't. And then the more you talk, man, I'm like, maybe he had just two or three really, really, really bad moves and then a bunch of nice moves. And actually, no, not really. So,
no.
For some reason, people thought they had good wide receivers. Jared Jeudy never really took a step forward. Cortland Sutton's good in the red zone, which he did with Russell Wilson, but he had some injury concerns. You know, the running backs are kind of an issue there. Javonte Williams didn't really take that step forward. He had injury concerns too. The offensive line could be an issue too. For a while, the defense was good, but then now it's just like Sertan, and that's about it. So how are you going to get through all this when you have a bunch of issues with the salary cap? It's to draft. You got to draft well, and the guy who's being the GM right now who has struggled with drafting as well, that's not a good sign.
You signed Mike McGlinchey to over $80 million. Like, Mike McGlinchey's a hell of a run blocker. The problem is he's not a good pass protector.
Yeah.
You know, now Lloyd Cushenberry, their center, he's probably going to walk out the door. Can't afford him. Zach Allen, they gave him 3 years and $45 million after he had a decent year with the Cardinals. Like, last year's fine. But, like, if they could do that contract again, would they? I don't know. Probably not. Like, it's just, it's a very, like, that. I got to tell you, and they probably won't do this, and maybe Broncos fans listening to this say I'm nuts. I would take calls on Sertan and try to rebuild this team. Like, yeah. I wouldn't trade him for any less than a first and a second, and I'd want two firsts. But if some team called me up and said, listen, we're going to offer a first and a second. If that second round, if the first round pick was a top 10 pick, I would do that deal. And if it was outside the top 10, I'd say I want two firsts. But man, they're going to need so much because it's not just these contracts we're talking about. It's not just the Russell Wilson dead money. They also traded a fortune's worth of picks for not only just Russell Wilson, but also for Sean Payton. I mean, they have traded a ton. I get that. Look, I get they got a pick back for Bradley Chubb and everything. I understand all that. But the whole idea was, well, now we're going to replace Bradley Chubb. Well, they haven't really done that. So, to me, they are just in a spot where they need a reset. And the problem is Sean Payton in it for a reset? Does Sean Payton want to sit there and wait 3 years for this team to get good? I don't think he does. They're in a very weird spot, and I think it's a very tough spot. They're in a division where the Chiefs are obviously much better. The Chargers have their quarterback. They have their issues, but they have their quarterback. And the Raiders, look, we got to see how it plays out. I'm not ready to give the Raiders any flowers yet because that's been 20 years in running. But they have a coach that the players like, and the Raiders have some cap space. Like, the Raiders cap-wise are in a good spot. So, you know, listen, right now, of the four teams in the AFC West, I think Denver is taking up the rear right now.
Yeah, and the Raiders are number two. I guess who would have thought? They're actually doing, they're kind of healthy right now and doing well. So that says a lot about the Raiders. And Matt, and off your Surtain point, I said that during the trade deadline, just trade the guy. And a lot of Broncos fans are like, no, don't trade the guy. Well, now you need, you know, to probably do it because you're hurting in so many spots there. So, and then the last part I'll say here, I know we're backtracking a little bit, but Sean Payton spending money last free agency, like is it just kind of confidence saying, you know what, I'll fix Russell Wilson. We can still operate at a high level. I'm going to fix him. And then you're like, you get in there like, actually, no, I can't. We're not that good. So, yeah.
It's tough. It's tough, man. It's a fascinating situation to watch. All right, going around the league here a little bit. So right now, everybody's cap compliant except for the 49ers, Denver, Buffalo, Baltimore, Dallas, New Orleans, L.A., the Chargers, L.A., and Miami. But all within $20 million of getting there. So they'll all get there in the next few days. Want to talk about the Cowboys. Dak Prescott, he has a cap hit right now of just under $60 million. He's in the final year of his deal. I think we've all kind of assumed that he's going to get an extension here, and that's how they're going to lower the cap hit significantly, and they're going to get under the cap. Rich Eisen of NFL Network and of the Rich Eisen Show, who I think does tremendous work, I was watching his show the other day, and he mentioned that he had some people tell him in Indianapolis that the Cowboys very well might not extend Dak and force him to play out this year and then go from there. If you're Jerry Jones, would you extend Dak, lower the hit, let's say the extension's 4 years and 240. Would you do that, or would you play it out and say, no, I want to see you make a playoff run. I want to see you go deeper in the playoffs. With again, a team that you're not going to be able to prove a whole hell of a lot outside of the draft at that point because you're capped out. What would you do if you're Jerry?
Yeah, this is a tough one because the Cowboys are in a terrible spot. Initially, I would have been like, okay, Dak, you've been here a good amount of years now since 2016. You've gone to the playoffs a couple of times. Last year, you got home games, and you're the number two seed, and you still couldn't do it in the postseason. You still had a flat performance. At some point, you got to go off of, hey, we'll pay you when you win playoff games, and you want to run out that contract. But like you mentioned, that cap hit is going to be, you know, a monster to deal with. And do you really want to keep going with that, with the cap hit there? Because you get a new deal, you could kind of ease that up a little bit. But if you're Dak Prescott, you have all the leverage in the world. I'm like, I'm not going to take like a team-friendly deal for 2 years so you can just kind of, you know, move the money around for a couple years. No, you better pay me my next four-year money that's massive, like whatever it was last time. Was it like 4 years, 160, something like that?
Yep.
It's gonna be more than that because it keeps going up and up. So they are in a tough spot. So if you're talking to your front office people and they're saying, hey, you could get away with just expiring this contract, let him prove himself this year, I think you'll be fine. If there's a scenario you could do that with the cap hit he has now, I say you let the contract expire here because, you know, he hasn't proven it. I like Dak Prescott as a quarterback. He just hasn't got there. And I get quarterbacks are really hard to find of his caliber. You know, what is it, top 10, top 12? We could debate all day about that. But he's not for sure a top 5 elite quarterback. So at some point you get stuck. You kind of get in the Kirk Cousins realm where like, yeah, you win one playoff game every 4 or 5 years, and he's a good quarterback, 4,000 yards, but it's the same cycle over and over again. At some point, you got to put pressure on Dak Prescott. So that would be my way, but that cap hit is just a monster to deal with, and it's going to be hard to maneuver, especially when you got to pay CeeDee Lamb and you got to pay Micah Parsons.
Yep.
Like, that's just, you're asking for a lot there, but I will prioritize Micah and CeeDee right now. But it's tough to gauge the Dak Prescott thing, but he just had his moment in the playoffs, and he blew it again.
I'm a big believer, and I have been forever. I think as a fan, before I got into this, doing this as a career, like, you only extend the quarterback and pay him top money if you think that guy can win you a Super Bowl. Because otherwise, what the hell are you doing? What's the point? Yeah, I never understand these teams that give these guys like Daniel Jones big money. Why? You don't win a Super Bowl with this guy. And then you get these people who have this line of thought where it's like, well, you know, hey, listen, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to go find somebody else. That's what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. You know, look at the team that right now is a reigning dynasty. They had Alex Smith. The guy threw over 4,000 yards the year before His final year in Kansas City. And the year before they drafted Mahomes, they went 12-4 and they were the 2 seed. And they traded up from 27-10, and I could tell you on absolute perfect authority, they were trying to get from 27-5 to acquire him. Like, they were going to do whatever it took to get that guy. And it's easy to say, well, yeah, of course they did. You didn't know he was going to be Patrick Mahomes then. They believed. They went up. They took the guy. I just don't understand these teams that feel like, well, what are you going to do? You know, got to pay him. Like right now, Kirk Cousins. Now, if he's a bridge guy, it's a little bit different now. But Minnesota, for years on end, paid Kirk Cousins. And like, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. But nobody ever thought Kirk Cousins was going to win the Super Bowl. And I get, look, if you're going from a situation like Minnesota was, you have no quarterback, and you go to Cousins, like, that's a really nice upgrade. I'm not saying a guy like that shouldn't get paid. He should get paid. What I'm saying is, I don't understand these teams that get 4 years of a look at a guy like Daniel Jones in New York, or, you know, Tannehill in Tennessee, where, you know, he came in and he got the extension. You're never winning a Super Bowl with that guy. You're signing an extension to have a ceiling. That's it. And I respect Dak Prescott. I think he's a borderline top 10 quarterback. But like, realistically speaking, they're going to win a Super Bowl with him? They really going to do it? Because I got to tell you, they haven't even come close. So if I'm Dallas, I'm not paying him. And if he goes out and he has an unbelievable year, great. Then we'll pay you then. We'll top the market. We'll beat out everybody for your services. And we'll pay a little bit of the tax of not having believed in you. But that's it. That's it. There's no way in hell right now I'm giving you $60 million a year. Why? What have you shown me? You know, it's one thing if you're paying Justin Herbert. Listen, he's not the problem with the Chargers. Okay, that's different. But, like, I'm not going out and paying you. Like, I'll tell you right now, if I'm the Dolphins, I'm not extending Tua. Based on what? That he could get blown out in a wild card game? Because he's got two all-pro level receivers around him. A great offensive coach. Like, I'm not extending him right now. Like, I'm waiting. I'm at least playing out the next year and then seeing how it goes. I got time on my side. And you don't have time on your side with Dak. I get it. You have time with Tua. I'm not extending him right now. Based on what? You're in an AFC with Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Herbert, Stroud, Lawrence, Lamar. And I'm taking Tua to get me through that gauntlet? I'm good. There's no... So, like, if Dallas, look, lesser conference of quarterback, sure. But he's shown me no reason to think that he's taken them to a Super Bowl. So, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. I would let him play out the year.
Yeah, I think there's something there where these teams kind of panic at quarterback, and I get it. It's the most important position on a roster. You want to make sure you have a good quarterback. And, you know, if you don't have one that's like, you know, top 15, you're not going to be in the race. I get it. But when you get to the race and you have a quarterback who's, you know, in that borderline, you're not going to go very far. Like, a lot of people try to debate, well, if you're on a rookie contract and you just stack the roster, you could win. Well, we saw the Super Bowl, Brock Purdy versus Patrick Mahomes. How did that go? The one with the elite quarterback won the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think these teams like to settle. They get kind of afraid to go for, like you mentioned, the Chiefs trading up for Patrick Mahomes when they had Alex Smith. When you have a quarterback, you know, that's decent, maybe that's the best time to get aggressive. Go and take a chance on a rookie. Let the rookie develop and kind of go the Jordan Love route. You have somebody for the meantime. And for whatever it is, teams just want guys to, you know, do results right away and just pan out. On the Dak front, like, the Cowboys did their part. They had a loaded defense. Yeah. You got Michael Parsons. You got CeeDee Lamb as your number wide receiver. You got a great offensive line. You had Schultz. Now you have Ferguson. You have Zeke. You have Pollard. Like, the excuses are running out. You know, I know with Tua, it's a little different scenario, but you have, like you mentioned, the good wide receivers. You have a good play caller. You got a good running game. The defense is pretty good, you know, for the most part with Vic Fangio. You know, but I think with Tua, you kind of wait it out. Right, he has one more year, right? I say wait it out. With Dak, you're kind of like, okay, what do you do? Like, you've seen the movie before. With Dak, it's kind of like, hey, man, we hate to do this to you, but you got to win us 2 playoff games in this postseason for us to pay you. We're sorry, but that's what it's come to.
I'm with you. I just think at some point here, like, you got to show me. You got to show me. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not paying you. I don't care what your regular season stats are. I don't care. It doesn't matter. What matters is winning these games in the playoffs. And for all these people who are like, quarterback wins aren't a stat. Hey, look, bro, that's what you get paid off of as a quarterback. Okay? Putting up stats and winning football games. That's it. Like, Herbert, and that's why the eternal debate with him right to this point has been, well, he doesn't win games. His stats are great. He doesn't win games. Yeah, which is why, like, to me, like, I think Herbert's an excellent quarterback, but I don't put him with Allen and Burrow and Mahomes. I don't. They don't win. They don't win games. In big games, he has not played well, particularly well. I mean, I'm sorry. None of those guys I just mentioned are blowing a 27-0 lead to Doug Peterson in Jacksonville. It's not going to happen. So that is where it is. Look, let's leave it on this note. Free agency is going to get kicking off in high gear. But next time we come back for the show, it's going to be a full-on bonanza. We, by the way, are going to have wall-to-wall coverage. We're both doing free agency grades. I'll be doing some columns as these things come out. Connor Orr will be doing some columns as well on some of the bigger signings, what it means long-term. Obviously, Albert Breer all over it as much as anybody in the country. Is there a player you're watching or a team you're watching in free agency at the outset that you're excited to see how it shakes out?
Yeah, first of all, credit to us for waiting to do our top 50 after the franchise tag, because people who posted before, it's like, you know, I get it, you get it out the way, but it's like 8 or 9 players won't be available for the free agency. Yes. So we waited, we got more work to do, but I thought we did the right approach. So now when you look at it, it's like, okay, you expect Chris Jones to be back with the Chiefs. You don't really know Kirk Cousins. It's starting to look like, you know, the Falcons, but we'll see about that. And then, you know, you got the running backs who are still out there, you know, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, you know, Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs. Like, now is your time, you know, to get paid. And you're a little older and you got some injuries, so we'll see what happens with all that. You've mentioned Christian Wilkins already. Danielle Hunter could be an available edge rusher out there. You know, the tricky part, man, it's like, you know, it's like the tiers and players. Like, you have, like, you know, maybe 10 good players, and after that, it's like, all right, you're getting a little risky now, who you want to get. And, you know, I did a story at SI saying the 12 worst free agent signings of a year ago. And there, I could have gone like 20 or 25. Like, there's just a lot of bad signings. And I get it. You need some buyer beware kind of, you know, glasses here to kind of figure out who's going to, like, why are these guys available? Like, that's always going to be the thing. Like, why are you available? But, like, a guy like Christian Wilkins, like, he's available because of salary cap issues with the Dolphins. You can't pay everybody. And he's a good player, good pass rusher, good run stopper. So, you know, I'm keeping an eye on those guys, the defensive player. Like, it's very thin at cornerback, by the way. You know, wide receiver is also very thin because Mike Evans and Michael Pittman Jr. And Higgins got their tag there. So, you know, maybe like a safety, like a Xavier McKinney can make some money. But I think Hunter and Wilkins are definitely the top guys. We'll see what happens with Jones and Cousins, and especially Cousins. I'm very intrigued to see what happens here. I know I'm kind of giving you a little bit of everything, but there's some talent to be found here. And, you know, especially like tackles could be not in terms of talent. Tackles is thin too. So where does a Tyron Smith go? And after that, do you risk it or you wait for the draft? We're both at the combine. There's a bunch of tackles guards in the draft. So things like that always kind of come my way when it comes to free agency. Like, people have been saying, switch it, go draft first and get go free agency after. But this is the way we're doing it.
I don't have a specific player. I am just, I know this is kind of maybe a not mean, but like, it's almost like morbid curiosity. I always sit there and I just wait for the contract to come through. That I just, the second I see it, I'm like, oh my God, like, yeah. What happened? Like, who signed for what? You know, that's it. And there's always the team every year I'll just call them Washington. They weren't the Commanders at the time. Washington was the leader of the clubhouse just forever. And then Miami took over briefly, and it became like, now it's like a moving title belt. There's always the team that the first day of free agency, they spend like $230 million. And you get all these insider tweets and people like you and I who are out there who are like, I'll tell you what, this team's on the come. Look at this. And then they go like 6-11. It happens every year. Every year, they have a big exultant press conference, and the GM's like, I'll tell you what, we're not sitting back anymore. And then you watch the season unfold, and you're like, oh my God, all these guys are nothing but dead money. I look for it every year. Like, the smart teams, for all the fans out there of every team listening, listen, you don't want your team to go out on the first day of free agency and drop $200 million. You want your team to make strategic signings, maybe one bigger name, and then a handful of guys in those second and third tiers. Go look at the team that just won the Super Bowl. Drew Tranquil, Mike Edwards, Donovan Smith, none of which got a fortune. Juwan Taylor was the one big signing, and then it was a bunch of guys who they brought in, Charles Omenihu, 2-20, like guys who weren't generating huge headlines, but who were just good football players. Look at Baltimore, one-year deal for Clowney, a short-term deal for Kyle Van Noy, right? Like, just brought, you know, 1 year for Beckham. Nobody who they brought in who you were like, oh my God, look at the money they spent. But they were just smart. They brought in guys who fit the team, who fit some needs, and the next thing you know, they're the best team in football for a vast majority of the season. You do not want to be the team who goes out and spends a fortune and has this pressure where they've got to add like two tables because they have so many guys they're inducing. That never ends well, ever. There's not one instance in the history of the league where a team went out and did that, and then we're like, hey, this was great. Every one of these guys performed to expectations. Doesn't happen. So just keep that in mind. We will be back next week to break it all down. And so thank you for listening. Please leave a 5-star rating if you would. Leave a question in the rating as well, and we'll get to it. We'll answer your question as soon as it comes through. For Gilberto Manzano, I am Matt Verderam. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be talking to you again next week. Good luck for your team in free agency.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.